How's it going?
It's good, man. Like, I'm worn out, coming to terms with being a bit of an old man. You know, we had a retreat for the young men at the school, like a men's retreat, 18 guys from the school coming out, and it was just one night, overnight, like Saturday through Sunday. Apparently, that is like all it takes to absolutely wreck me. I was just powering through on fumes and prayer today. Like that, that's what I had to offer. Oh, yeah, was
the recovery.
It was a lukewarm mess.
The recovery is rough. You know, like you can keep up like in the moment, but you just like the debt that's paid is just higher for some reason. You know, like taxes go up when you get older. Like, I don't know what it is.
That is a really good way to phrase it. Yeah, the taxes go up. Because like, or like maybe it's fines. I don't know. Like, because it's nothing I paid into in advance. It's just all of a sudden at the end, it hits me. My sleep, my lack of sleep hits me, you know, like when you go through one of those camera speed traps.
Yep.
Where like nothing happened at the time. You're not totally sure. Did I see it flash or not?
Right. Yep.
And then, you know, a few weeks later, bam. Oh, yeah. Oh, no. Still now?
Yeah. Dude, it's real. Cause I remember when I had the girls. First one, I stayed up with both of them right through the night because they're on opposite sleep schedules when they're born. And so I stayed up with them, with both of them. The first one stayed up all night, no problems, right? Second one, 3 years later, dude, totally different. Like, it was hard to stay up all night with her. And then the next day, not functional at all. Like, brain fuzz, you know, just like general, like I couldn't process a thought to save my life.
Man, I was telling kids today in class, I was like, look, if I say something and it doesn't make sense, that's not because you missed something. Like, ask me, make me say it again, because if I say it five times, I'll get it right at least one of them.
I'll clarify. Oh, that's funny, man. All right, let's hit an intro and jump into it. All right. Have you had anything good? I imagine they didn't have too many things in the form of beverages at the retreat, but maybe before then, because it's been a double podcast. So it's been a, yeah.
Yeah. It's been a couple of weeks. And I had, I hate when this happens, but like I had a wine that someone else offered me some of. And like, I never think to be like, oh, I should figure
what
out
is
like,
this
what
wine?
This wine is. Yeah. But it was like a, is it pronounced the same as like the cake decorating stuff, the ganache or like the dessert filling? Like it was a red wine and it's like spelled like that. It starts with a G, ganache or something.
Was it white? It was a red. No, you said it was red.
It was a red. Yeah.
There is one with a G that's hard. I don't know what it is though.
Yeah.
I think it's a Spanish wine
It is.
Granaccio.
Grenache. That's what Grenache. It is. Not ganache. Grenache.
There it is.
And it was one of those, and it was like, it was good. It was kind of a, I don't know, like there was almost a thickness to it. Like that makes it sound weird. Like, makes it sound like it was syrupy, and it's definitely not. But it was full bodied.
Yeah, yeah.
Like it hung out in my mouth after I had swallowed.
Yep.
And it was actually like, it worked really nice. I really enjoyed it. It was a really pleasant sip while we were sitting there. It wasn't so much with something we were eating as like immediately after. And yeah, it was really good, tasty. Huh? And I did like it. And it was, again, it was different than what I'm used to from a red. You know, like in general, as a very kind of like novice wine drinker. It's kind of one of those things. White, sweet. Mm-hmm. Red, dry. And, like, I wouldn't call this, like, a sweet wine by any stretch. But, like, it was still a little bit more dessert-y on it. Like, like it definitely...
Yeah, a little sweeter, a little fruitier, a little...
Exactly. It was more on the fruity side of the reds compared to, you know, like, cabs and things like that. But, yeah, it was a really pleasant little sipper.
Nice. Yeah, that full body, like, one of the things that I dislike about wines is when they're, I call them empty, when it feels like there's just like if you bit into something and there was just like a hole in the middle, but it wasn't filled, you know, like you can drink a wine and it literally just feels like there's a hollow thing in the middle of it. And then like you have a good wine and it's just like, it's completely full. Like it fills the whole thing up. And that's the best way that I know how to describe it. But so when you said it's like full bodied and like thick, like, I know exactly what you're talking about because, like, the opposite of that is, like, thin and or empty. There's, like, that little hollowness to it that just kind of missing it.
Right, because there are the wines that, like, are good to pair with something, and then there are wines that you have to pair with something. Like, it's got the beginnings of and the hints of, like, flavors, but then it's never going to deliver on those promises. And so, like, you need something else that you can put into your mouth that, like, oh, okay, now there is something here. This one wasn't that.
Nice. Yeah. I like it. So I had a couple of beverage experiences. Which one would you like to go over, the coffee or the beer?
You know what? I feel like it's been a little while since we've done a good coffee one.
Okay, sure. So I had, so when we went to San Diego, right? Like I go to places to eat there, right? Like I want the different things, how they're doing it. And so coffee is always one of the big ones. We hit two coffee spots. One is Lofty Coffee, I've talked about before. They're very good. It's they're excellent. The funny thing about them, though, is that you can tell they're doing really well because there's no, like, hippies with knit caps behind the bar anymore. They're all in, like, branded stuff and, like, almost uniform. And Like, you can tell that either somebody came in and bought them or they're, like, treating it like a professional business now. And so, like, you could absolutely tell the difference. But anyway, the second one, which is the more interesting, is I went to Trident Coffee in Coronado. I was like, Coronado, SEAL Team 6, Trident Coffee, I have to do this, right? Like, it's something that I must do. And plus, the idea of walking around, their cup branding was super cool. It was like a navy blue cup with a big golden trident on it. I was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to walk around Coronado. Even if my cup is empty, I'm going to walk around with this cup because it's so cool. Unfortunately, when we got there, they just handed us white cups, blank white cups. So I was really disappointed in that. But the coffee was, we got two coffees. We got a drip coffee, and then like one of their big things is canned cold brew. So the canned cold brew was a Brazilian, and it was really good. It wasn't super thick or overly caffeinated like a lot of them are. Like it was real chocolatey Brazil coffee. Excellent. The drip coffee that we got was an Indonesian. And it's the first time that I've said in coffee, like we talk about in beer, like it was an excellent example of the style or like of the region. I just don't like that region. Like, I don't like any coffee out of that area because they're all very earthy. This coffee tasted like straight tobacco. Like if you took a tobacco leaf and were just gnawing on it, just chewing on tobacco leaves. It was roasted well. All of it was good. But I mean, like, it was tobacco. So, like, I was telling my dad, I was like, this just tastes like tobacco to me. He's like, oh, really? I loved it. I thought it was really good. I was like, that's because you like chewing tobacco. And he's like, oh, well, yeah, that makes sense.
It does track, yeah.
that tracks. So it was weird. But, I gave it to Kristen, and she's like, oh, that's weird. I don't even know what that tastes like. I was like, yeah, that's because you don't know tobacco at all. Like, it was weird, man. It was crazy, and it just reinforced that, yep, I don't like Indonesian coffees, man. They're not for me.
See, but that's a good way to find out, though, because, like, when you can tell that, like, oh no, you know, it's been roasted well. The flavor is developed.
Yep.
There's like a clarity to this flavor. Okay, so it's actually just, this is not for me.
Yeah, it's not like it was a crappy cup of coffee. And
exactly. Yeah. I can't tell whether I am tasting the filter, whether I am tasting the burn. Oh, no, no, no. I'm tasting the coffee. These flavors are like strong, pronounced, and clear.
Yep.
And I hate them.
That is exactly what I felt. That, like, to a T.
Glad to help you out, man.
Oh, man. All righty then. So we're coming up on...
Oh, we're Easter. In Holy Week.
Yeah. I mean, we're in the thick of it, huh?
Yeah.
Whole week. It's kind of nice. The church gave the kids with their, like, Sunday school thing, like, this, like, Easter week wheel. So, like, every day is a different thing. Mm. And then there's a card that they read to go around it. So it's been nice. We had this little thing on the table each morning. Brooklyn kind of spins the wheel to see what, you know, like, it was the Last Supper and then the washing of the feet and, you know, like, and so, and then we read each one of those things each morning. So it's been kind of cool to have something to reflect on, like a daily basis at the table. I like that a lot. So that's been pretty cool. But in general, how has Lent gone for you? How has it been? Good, bad, the ugly?
Yeah, and it's definitely been all of the above. Mm-hmm. Like, so in full disclosure, I have, like, my Lenten discipline, like, my, like, personal chosen one, you know, mm-hmm. my dedication to getting up and doing morning prayer, has been like a colossal failure. Utterly fell off on that. But, and so, like, that is definitely a bad, and it's one of those things where, that bad though has kind of like led to some good for me in terms of, you know, for one thing, confirming a lesson that I've always known, like, my whole adult life, I have known this thing. And yet, if someone were just evaluating, like, my life and the way I talk and the way I think about things, they would have some serious questions about whether or not I knew this thing. And it is the idea that, like, all God needs from me is permission. Like, the things that I think I need to do in order to, like, cooperate with him and work with him and things like that, like, are really a lot less important than at my prideful moments I want them to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, because it's been a really good Lent. I have spent a lot of time almost by accident. Like, again, I set out my Lenten thing for prayer was I was going to be in morning prayer. I'm going to do that. And instead, what's ended up happening is I have consistently just sort of found myself with, like, a few minutes and, like, grabbing my Bible and, like, reading through it. Or, like, there'll be a conversation that comes up in class with the students that, like, triggers, I want to reference this thing from the Bible. And so I'll go get it. And I know in general where it is and go flipping through and find it and read through that and, like, discuss it with some of the kids and things like that. And it's like, oh, okay. So, like, I thought that what I absolutely had to do was make this time at this time of the day for prayer, where I was going to read through the Psalms. And I was going to read through these prayers, and that's how I was going to grow closer to God. And, like, I have no doubt that God would have used that. If I had actually, like, followed through, that would have been beneficial.
Sure.
But
God, take this square peg in your round hole. I'm going to.
Yeah. Or instead, though, it was more like God's like, okay, stupid. Look, yeah, you're focused over here. But watch what I'm doing right here, right now.
Yep.
And I think for me, it's been one of those things where there has been that realization of, like, something we talked about in a lot of depth, not terribly long ago. It wasn't one of our most recent episodes, but we were talking about that idea of the difference between, like, being patient and ready as opposed to, like, sitting and idle.
I remember that.
And I feel like this Lent has been a really, the good part of it has been God has been like pointing out to me my readiness. Like there are enough things going on in my life, whether it's professional or personal or whatever, that like have got my eyes opened in ways that they haven't always been. And God is using that. And that has been super uplifting and has really helped me avoid my normal trap of thinking, ugh, I didn't do morning prayer today, so instead I am going to do all five of the daily prayers from the breviary right here, right now, while I take like take my belt off and just like beat myself over the back with it, like, you know, because I am I am very much prone to
I know it.
I have to like I've got to. If I beat myself up badly enough, then God will have mercy on me. And be like, no, look, stop doing that.
Yep.
When in reality, the whole time, God is like, you idiot.
Yep.
When did I ever say that I wanted you to take this out on yourself? Never once. Like, so it's been kind of a confusing Lent for me, like, from that perspective of it really feels like I've done things wrong, and yet things have gone really well. And yeah, there's still a lot of internal processing happening on that in terms of like, what lesson am I actually supposed to take? Because there's a very real, like significant lazy part of me in the back of my head that's like, see, this is why we don't try. Just like coast and like God take care of it. I'm rather confident that's not actually the lesson I'm supposed to get here.
Right.
But like, yeah, finding that balance. And trying to figure out, like, what is the sustainable, real thing that I need to hold on to moving forward?
Oh, man, that is the key to is finding the sustainable thing, right? The thing that you can do all the time. Because that's the hardest part, because I'm the same way. It's kind of binge and purge, right? Like, I missed, so then you try to get it all, and then you end up ruining it, and then you end up doing nothing. You end up... But, yeah, so I'm not going to lie. I thought when you said that, what you finally learned was going to be that you're not a morning person. That like I thought. Oh, that's exactly.
No. I definitely still am. Like that, I'm not a
morning
person,
so morning prayers were a bad idea. That's what I thought you were going to say. I thought it was coming, and then you swerved on me. I was like, "Dang it!"
That is 100% the like super annoying thing for me about myself. Like because I am absolutely a morning person.
Are you really?
Oh yeah. Like I wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning, regardless of my alarm, and I'm cool with that. Like, I love my leisurely morning and all of this. And so, like, that's the thing that, like, really talking about, you know, you said the good and the bad and the ugly. That was the ugly. Is a few weeks in, like, the self-loathing for the idea of you were up and, like, dressed and ready for work a half hour, 45 minutes before you needed to leave. And you couldn't find time for the 10 to 15 minutes of morning prayer. You scumbag.
Yep.
And like, there's, to be fair, there is some truth in that. Like, in terms of I did need to like have an honest assessment of like where was my commitment level at. But again, like, ultimately, it kind of came down to, you know, what you said about the square peg and the round hole. Like, maybe the reason I wasn't like finding that, in spite of like, because I failed and started up again multiple times, and so it wasn't connecting with me. It was what I thought I needed to
should
doing.
Do.
Yeah, it's what I thought like I ought to do.
Yeah,
as opposed to like being just more present to God. Like ultimately, that was my goal. That is the goal of prayer. Mm-hmm. Is to be ready and available for God to grow in that communication with him. And I think that my frustration with myself over it, this was like, I'm not going to claim this as necessarily growth, because I need to like do this consistently before I can call it growth. But like, it was, again, an eye-opening experience for me. Was instead of like beating myself up over it. Instead, it was like I actually did like turn to God in terms of, I don't know why I'm not doing this, Lord. You know, be patient with me, please. Help me be patient with myself. And he was like, yeah, no, I've got you. Yeah. Because this is what's going to happen. One of your kids is going to ask a non sequitur in class. Has nothing to do with what the heck you're talking about. But you're actually going to be ready to recognize it as like a super good question. And you're going to chase this one down with them. And I'm going to show you exactly where to chase it to.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, okay, cool.
That's huge. That's huge. I also like what you said about finding, you know, more time in the Word in that. Like, because I think I got stuck in that too. And I think that's something that I've kind of worked on probably this Lent, or God has worked on me, I should say. I don't think anything that happened to me over Lent was intentional. Or anything good. Anything good that happened was not intentional. I should say that. I did not accomplish anything. But was that there's always this feeling that you should pray a certain way. Like you have to say the words, you have to do these things, you have to, you know, steeple the fingers, whatever, you know, I'm just trying to demonstrate like a should, quote unquote. And
check boxes.
Yeah. And sometimes just reading the word counts, you know, it's contemplative. It leads to prayer. It leads to conversation. It leads to all of these things, but it doesn't look like prayer, you know, and we oftentimes separate it from prayer. Like there's prayer and reading the word. Like, I don't think those two things should be separate. Like they're kind of the same thing, you know, not the same thing, but you know what I'm saying? Like
well, they can be,
they can be
the same thing,
right?
You know, like, you know, one of the advantages of being a scripture teacher is that I get to talk to kids about the idea that like, look, no, you don't read this like you read a novel in your English class. Mm-hmm. Like you can. You absolutely can. You can just read and love the story.
Mm-hmm.
Like this is fascinating. Like I wonder what's going to happen next. There are large chunks of the Bible that you can absolutely read that way. And again, there's nothing wrong with that. There's goodness there in the story itself as well. And like just being familiar with it.
Mm-hmm.
But there is, like you said, there is also the prayerful reading where it's like, you know what? God, tell me something. Like, yeah. I am here.
Revelation.
Jesus is the Word. And so like when I'm with the Word, I am with Christ. And sometimes the things he tells me has to do with the words on the page.
Mm-hmm.
Other times it doesn't. Like sometimes the communication and the prayer that happens when you're reading the scriptures is not actually what the scriptures say.
Right.
But there's that work that's being done in the heart because you're spending time in the company of your beloved.
Yeah.
You're loving on him, he's loving on you, and
like yeah, changes exactly. are happening. Or so like with me, the last couple of days is he's kind of been showing me the, you know, the nature of how he works, right, in Isaiah. Mm. So Isaiah is prophecy. And so they're talking about, you know, the child to be born, you know, and we're going to call him, you know, Mighty God, and man, you know, like all of those, that really cool section of Isaiah that we all reference for Christ.
Yeah.
Isaiah wasn't talking about Christ. He was talking about a literal kid that was born, and that was when their war. And so, like, it's interesting on how what I've kind of been chewing on is that there's the physical and then there's the spiritual, right? And so like the king of Israel or Judea, whatever, whoever that was, they were worried about whoever was coming and they had to fight them, right? They were worried about the physical and the here and now. But God is operating on every layer, the here and now and the future, the physical, the spiritual, the now, the future, like, and it's all blended together. But my responsibility is the here and now, and you let God, you know, hyperlink to the future and the past and all of these things. And so like that's where reading in the Word too is so good, because it can be prayer, it can be just like you said, getting to know God more, like his nature, and that's so important. But anyway, I guess I should, since we're airing out dirty laundry, go ahead and throw mine out there, right? So I was not going to do anything for Lent. I don't normally do anything for Lent, but this year I was like, you know what? I'm gonna. And then I didn't. So Like, my thing was going to be on writing. Like, I wanted to write a certain amount. I wanted to, you know, do some things. And I think I wrote, I don't think I even wrote 500 words. It was hard, man. Like, I forced myself to sit down, and then nothing, there was no motivation. There was no inspiration. It was like just terrible hard to sit down and then start writing. Like, I haven't even been able to choose a story. Like, I've been asking God, which one do you want me to write? And then it's silence. And so, like, I'm going nowhere. And, like, it's kind of sucked for the last few weeks. I'm not going to lie. It's kind of been coming to a head in March. And so I would say maybe over the last couple of days, I've started to turn a little bit, not towards in my writing or anything, but just realizing that, I don't know, that my agency and what that means, right? So, like, there was a literal question which I asked God today and was, you know, am I allowed to do this for myself? Like, can I do something for me? Like, am I allowed to do that? Or is it something like I have to, because, like, I have been very focused on framing my mindset as a steward in the kingdom of Christ, right? Like, this is not my own. I am working for him. That's all of these things, right?
Yeah.
And then there just this came to this point to where I'm like, am I even allowed to do anything for me? That all the stuff, right? And his, you know, perfect example was, well, like, you're doing this, like, you didn't do that for me. Like, we're getting a pool in the backyard, right? Yeah. Like, and I've been leading that project. Like, I quoted it. I've been managing all of this stuff. He's like, you haven't been like, I'm making this pool for God, you know? Like,
yeah,
you did it for them. Like, and so there's agency in how it works. And I think that's one of the things that I've been coming around to. And so there was, you know, I started cleaning my room up a little bit more, you know, like doing, like taking more responsibility. Today, I changed my schedule up on how I did things and just trying to, I guess, use my agency a little bit more and not just wait for God to tell me what to do. And I think that's kind of what I got stuck in. I don't know. I don't know it. I'm still kind of working through it, to be honest with you, because my Lent was like failure and miserable and not particularly spiritually enriching. You know, like, it was God, this Lent is when God kind of said, okay, stop praying, quote unquote, right? Mm-hmm. And just go straight into the word. Like, don't go through your rote, like, say thank you for this, thank you for that, please bless this person, please, like, I get so habitual that, like, even I'll, like, mix up our meal prayer with, like, the beginning of my evening prayer, and I'm like, I'm not even thinking, I'm just on autopilot, you know?
Yeah.
And so, that's how my Lent has gone. I don't know what the result of all that will be, but it was not what I went into it with. So we'll see, I guess, to be determined.
Oh, absolutely. And I think, like, and feel free to add this to the list of, like, super hollow things to hear in a moment, you know, like, by all means, because, like, but at the same time, like, there is the possibility of, like, this actually being one of those things that becomes afterwards, like, really kind of life-giving. There is something very, very Lent about the idea of this time being in the desert, man. Like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
but I think it's cool. Like, there, because the parallel isn't just the fact that you're in the desert and in the wilderness, but there's the fact that, like, ultimately, what has the response been for you? You're in the wilderness, you're on your own, or you feel you're on your own. Mm-hmm. And so what did you do? You turned to the word. you drew closer to the Lord, you know? And I love that idea of taking agency in some of those smaller things, you know? And I do think there is something too to that idea of, like, again, kind of going back to when I was talking earlier about, like, that difference between being patient and waiting mm-hmm. and, like, sitting and being idle. Like, God very rarely speaks to people in, like, the booming voice from the clouds.
Mm-hmm.
And so much of it is about, like, being able to gauge our own kind of response as we're doing things. Like, as I'm doing something, do I feel more peace in this, or do I feel more like distance and anxiety? And when I sit still, I don't feel like anything because there's nothing for me to be responding to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so, like, I think there is something very encouraging about the fact that in the midst of dryness, your response is to cry out to God more, you know, not to think, oh, well, obviously, so prayer's not working. So I guess I just stopped praying. But instead, like, okay, talking to God this way isn't working for me. I'm going to try something else, you know? And I think that's one of the things that I love about the seasons in the liturgical year. And, like, kind of wrapping things up and bringing it into kind of a life lesson for me, I think that's the beauty of it, is that as we're in this Holy Week, as we're getting ready for Easter, this time of Lent coming to an end does not mean that, like, my season of dryness is coming to an end.
Sure.
But it does mean that I know that seasons of dryness do come to an end. You know, to me, the beauty of Lent is that Lent is temporary and Easter is permanent.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we are a resurrection people. Christ was on the cross for a few hours. Agonizing, horrible hours, but still, he was on the cross for a matter of hours.
Yep.
He was in the tomb for a matter of days. He is the king for all eternity.
Yeah.
And, like, these seasons of difficulty and struggle are real. And they do really suck. But they're a season. And they pass. And in these seasons, ultimately, I'm trying to hold on to that confidence that even my failures end up my crap ends up being the fertilizer that's going to help this tree grow.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm still growing up towards heaven as I'm going through that and trying to keep that perspective. Because, again, for me, that was my big shift, is that, like, yeah, I failed and yet good happened.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not on me. As long as I'm continuing to strive, I can have that confidence that there will be results. Not the results I picked, but the ones that I actually needed.
Yeah, we're not responsible for the results. Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually don't want to add anything to that. That's the right summary and the summary we should end on. I'm just going to take anything away if I add anything, so... Oh, that's really good. I like the minutes, day, or the hours, days, and forever. That was a good line. Love it. Love it. Love it. All right. Okay. Well, it'll be Wednesday when it comes out, and then we got the weekend. So I'm just going to say happy Easter, everybody.
Absolutely.
Celebrate. It's worth celebrating. And you got anything else on your brain, man?
Nah, man. I'm just going to go ahead and close it out with a. So one of the things today, going over, like, Holy Week stuff with the freshmen, I read this thing from a sermon by St. John Chrysostom, you know, the Golden Tongue. And it was his Easter sermon, the one where he's talking about, like, Christ's victory over death. And, like, just one of my favorite lines that I've ever heard, just this kind of taunting, mocking line of, "Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, death, where is your victory? Death has been frustrated because it has been vanquished. Christ endured it and so conquered it." And it's like, I don't know, man. It just, It feels so good. It feels so good. I was exhausted and running on fumes today, man. But when I read the, like, it was like about a,
be like, let's it was a go! Long paragraph.
It was a long paragraph, man. And those freshmen were not ready for where I was by the time I was done reading that paragraph. Love it.
Oh man, that's fantastic. I love it when you hit that phrase or that word, you know, like anything, and you're just like, I could punch Satan right in the freaking face right now.
Oh my God.
Like seriously, man. Freaking go.
Get me some pads. I want to go hit somebody.
Oh, I love it. I love it. That's fantastic. Right on, right on. All right. With that, everybody, we will say
adieu.